It was too easy. It was supposed to hurt. And it didn't hurt at all. Because the flesh wasn't mine. The blood wasn't mine. The scream wasn't mine. The arm in front of me was bigger and hairier than mine, and bloodier than anything I'd ever seen outside of a TV screen. The hole in it was like a mouth stretched open too wide, drooling red. I let go of the box cutter. When I heard the light clatter of its plastic handle hitting the floor, my heartbeat slowed down to meet the shock of this new reality. This is you. This is real. This is what you've done. This will always be what you've done.
December 16, 2015. Henry. I just sat down at my desk when the call came in a little after 9 a.m. A probable homicide on Clement Avenue, in one of the office buildings, just 2 minutes down the road. I drove there quickly, but in a state of half-disbelief. Campion hadn't had a homicide in years, not since Brookhaven. By the time I arrived, my old partner Greg had sealed off a whole office block and its parking lot. There were a few senior citizens and stay-at-home mom types standing anxiously outside the yellow tape, wondering if they were going to have to reschedule their dental or chiropractic appointments. Greg was chatting with these folks, telling them that there was an emergency in Office 2C and that no one could go inside Block 2 this morning, maybe all day. When he saw me, Greg led me to 2C and briefed me outside the door. A male in his 60s, a psychotherapist, according to the diploma on his wall, and the patient who had found him. Dr. Mark Fabian. His patient had found him on the floor of his office, called 911, and asked them to send paramedics. The paramedics had quickly ascertained that this Dr. Fabian was dead, probably for many hours. He had the rig, and there was a deep wound on the side of his skull and bruises on his face. "The patient, her name is Carolyn Rouse, is still in the waiting room," Greg whispered to me. "Get her out of the waiting room, Greg." I slipped on my shoe covers. "It's part of the crime scene, technically. See if she'll wait in your car. I'll get a statement from her as soon as I can." "Right," Greg said. "Amy's on her way, and where are the paramedics?" "Outside, waiting to talk to you." I put on my rubber gloves and pushed open the door to the dead therapist's office. My wife had been telling me for years that I should see a shrink. Well, now I would.
Nadine. I never expected to touch you, and I think the feeling was mutual. But before I can leave your office, I have to make sure you're really dead. So I put my fingers to your arm, and yes. Oh, God. Yes. I don't need to bother with your pulse. But then, since you're dead, I have to close your eyes. I can't stand to leave you here like this on the soft gray carpet. Open-eyed, coffee-stained, blood on your face and in your beautiful, fluffy hair. Regular blood. Dark red. Surprising, somehow. Maybe I thought a shrink's blood would run clear, or a luminous green or blue, like antifreeze. I'm not sure why I closed the door behind me. All I know is that after that I run. Out of the office, out of the suite, out of the building. The lady in the parking lot, the skinny one with the black hair with white streaks, says hello, and I say hello back and stare at her as she goes into your office building. It is so early in the morning still. Is she an angel of death? Did that just happen? Or did I imagine her? Either way, I unlock my car and fall into my seat and drive away. There's coffee down the side of my blue down coat. I can feel its wetness, but since we passed each other quickly, I doubt the angel of death saw it. Unless she is all-seeing, all-knowing. As I assume angels of death generally are. Somehow, I am already a mile or two down East Main Street, and I hear myself whispering, "Not again, not again." The highway ramp is only a half mile away on the right. I don't know much else, but I know I'll be taking it. Away from Campion. Campion. Emerald green jewel of Connecticut.